Hello and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Lucy Smith.
And me, Michael Henry.
This week we'll be talking about soundtracks.
Yes, and I guess soundtracks in comparison to scores, because a score that's purely instrumental, that isn't music by artists that already exist, is the difference this week, isn't it?
Oh.
Well, I mean, technically yours is a mixture of a score. Yours is a mixture of a score, but it's music that already exists in some ways. Yours is an odd one.
Mine's mainly a score. They got two people to compose and work with the actors and work with the script.
Okay, so when I say score, I mean more like purely instrumental. I think you're right. I think yours is technically a score, but because there's covers of other music in there. I don't know how to define yours. That's why I think it's a good pick.
That's interesting, though. I've never even thought about the difference between a score and a soundtrack. I just assume any music put to film is soundtrack.
Well, generally I would say any music. So, like, from my pick this week, there's bands like The Clash, David Bowie. These are people that have already made the music, and then the film comes years later, and they implement the pieces of music into the... either from within the scene or over the top of the scene in a montage-type way. Whereas a score is written after the fact for the film. And yeah, usually instrumental. Yours is a weird hybrid that I don't know where we would put it. I think, it fits in soundtrack and score. And
that's cool, though.
Yeah.
And didn't Joe Strummer put together yours?
He was music supervisor, but also... So Joe Strummer from The Clash, he also made music... Okay, there's technically a score in mine too, but that's not what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about the music that already existed. Should we start with mine or do you want to start with yours? I feel like we've introduced enough of both of them in a weird way.
Do you want to start with yours? Classic soundtrack.
Yeah, okay. So my pick for the week was Gross Point Blank from 1997. It stars John Cusack. He's a professional assassin who gets sent on a mission to a small suburb and... by coincidence, it's the place where he grew up, so it's the same time as his 10-year high school reunion. Yeah, and this is another good rom-com mention. I realise that we're kind of... I mean, when John Cusack's around, it tends to be a rom-com, but... I feel like we've covered a few at this point of films that are normally kind of shit on because of the genre, but I think this is... I mean, this is technically, it's not just a rom-com. This is technically like an existential action comedy drama with romance. And it just happens to have the best soundtrack ever. But that's nitpicking. You'd seen this before and you were a fan of the soundtrack too, right?
So I've only seen it once. I knew the soundtrack way before I watched the film. My dad bought it for me because I loved like ska and punk and stuff. And it's just
did
like
he, did
perfect.
Did he buy the soundtrack for you or did he buy the film for
he
you?
He did. He bought the soundtrack for me before I went to uni. Nice. A triple disc edition.
I think I have the same one somewhere. I was going to ask, I mean, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I was going to ask, have you ever bought a soundtrack to a film? Because...
Yes.
Yeah, I've got loads. I feel like...
Brokeback Mountain's my number one.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Although now I don't really buy them. I just find them on Spotify and stuff. But yeah, I used to buy CDs.
That's changed a bit. I remember, I think it was after Good Will Hunting, just buying... everything with Elliot Smith in it because it's the most beautiful.
Yeah, I bought the ever. Fight Club soundtrack, which is nothing so beautiful at all. It's
I can't
very
picture
like
you listening. It's like it's Dust Brothers in it. Not techno, but I don't even know what
it's like.
What it's definitely electronic, but I can't picture you listening to that.
I don't always, but yeah, there's a very specific kind of mood you need for a Fight Club soundtrack.
Yeah, you've got to be in a fighting mood. Films like this are a really great way to find your sense of taste in music in some ways. If you don't have parents or friends around who explore, you know, beyond pop culture and beyond just Radio 1, for instance. Would you say you found a lot of your musical taste through films you watched?
Yeah, it's a great way to introduce music to people because... it also goes along with the memory and how you felt at that moment. Like, especially if you connect with the characters, you're going to really love a song. I was thinking before this that I have that a lot, but through TV shows. And a lot of TV shows like pride themselves on their soundtrack, like Scrubs. I still listen to my playlist of everything they used on that. TV.
There's some shows like True Detective where the theme song was technically a soundtrack piece that already existed, but then it gets appropriated for that show. Sopranos too. And I'll still listen to the True Detective soundtrack because it's so, like, you've heard it probably hundreds of times if you watch the show, but it's so evocative and it's just such a good song. Like, all of them. Anyway, we're getting off topic a little bit there.
I think there's a danger of, like, also, like, you can love a show or you can love a film, someone buys you the soundtrack. And I've had this before. Someone bought me, I think, the Buffy soundtrack, and I was like, I recognise none of these songs, and yet I've watched it so many times. Like, they don't link to the show for me.
I don't know if I bought it. I think I did, actually. I bought the same soundtrack. It's, like, quite a grey case. It was her and Angel on the front, right? And a lot of new metal in there.
Might have been that.
Like, the opening track you would listen to, because it's the theme song, and then one or two tracks later on, but basically you're like, God, this is terrible.
Yeah, and I think that says something in that I think a soundtrack, especially for a film, needs to be like tie in with the personality very well. So it needs someone talented behind the choices, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Joe Strummer's choices for Gross Point Blank. I not only think this is one of the best soundtracks of all time, I honestly think this is one of the most underrated films of all time. I love it. Like, we've talked about this before where I feel like the perfect mix for a film is somewhere between pure entertainment and art. And I feel like this fits it perfectly because it's very funny. Dan Aykroyd in particular and Jeremy Piven. There's so many like great little moments that are hilarious, but there's also a lot of weight to it as well. I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it is about someone returning to their childhood home and he gets back and it's like a mini mart. There's quite heavy things, like to do with nostalgia and loss, and you know, like his mum's in a nursing home and his dad was an alcoholic, but they deal with all these things without bringing down the tone so much that it's not a comedy anymore.
Yeah.
But also not dealing with them in such a light way that you're like, huh, that's funny. There's so much depth to it, similar to High Fidelity too. That I think it's the perfect mix for me anyway. It's the perfect mix of performance. I mean, I'm not going to say cinematography. It's not like a cinematic masterpiece, but for what it would have been, which is very much just like a rom-com, returns to his childhood home, falls in love, gets to shoot some people, it's actually quite profound. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I feel like, the fact that... So, Minnie Driver,
the way it deals with stuff like the nostalgia and all that, like... Yeah, it is done so lightly, because when I think back on it, that's not the tone I pick up. A lot of the tone I pick up is from the soundtrack, and just like that keeps it upbeat as well. Like everything's working to sort of lift it, even though, as you say, visiting his mum and going back to his high school. Yeah.
And there's a great device in that. So the person that he left behind as a teenager, so he ran away, joined the military and became an assassin, essentially. He left behind the love of his life, and this reunion is kind of, he has to confront that. And she's a DJ. She's playing a lot of the soundtrack in the film, essentially. And that's something they bonded over when they were younger. So bands like The Clash, The Specials, Pixies, stuff like this. So there's a reason for the soundtrack to be in there too. And I think, I don't know if you agree with this, but I would say that I think most films these days have too much music and sound, and there's just too much going on. And I feel like I'm not saying films should be, you know, just silent. Like No Country for Old Men has no score and no soundtrack, and it works. It's all sound design. It's impressive. But I feel like, you only need like four or five music cues generally, unless it's a film about music or someone who's a DJ, like in this film. I don't know if you agree. Do you feel that films have too much going on?
Use the phrase too much. I might not have noticed it because that's just normal now, but I would say I notice when it's done and don't notice when it's done well, which is great. I do notice when it's done badly. It's like, you're introducing this song right now because I'm meant to cry, and I just like detach. I mean, the film that I watched most recently at Halloween was The Others, which uses barely any music very well, and that really woke me up.
I'm not sure
the idea.
Actually, I I disagree on this one because I did like rewatching the film, but the one thing I didn't like was I felt when they did introduce music, it was a bit too over the top. I feel like this is all subjective though when it comes to how much. Okay,
actually, when you said that, I just imagined the big violins and like that. Yeah. My point is, I guess, that I realise after a little while, hey, there's no music, but that's okay. Like, the bits, they just use it very well. And I feel like a lot of films lean back to it as like a comfort blanket. Like, oh, yeah. We'd better put some music
in. I mean,
I do.
I personally do when I'm making films. I think it takes quite a lot of confidence. And you have to really, like a performer has to really nail a scene for you to go, that was so good that people will just cry because it's so good. I think that the only time I've really seen that is like a film like The Master, where Joaquin Phoenix will be just, to add music to it would ruin it, essentially. It's a very fine line, because obviously there are moments where, you know, the music is the reason that you cry, but you don't notice it. And it's very hard to do, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes you really do need it as well. And also, sometimes through no fault of the actor, there's just, you know, a script that's written so tightly can sometimes have scenes that are a bit ambiguous unless you give visual and audio clues as to what's going on and how they're feeling. It sometimes just helps sort of skip the story forward, not by saying anything in the script, but by sort of letting us know with the music. And that's when it's done really well as well.
I feel like when music works really well, it's kind of presented in a way that is, it's not obvious, but it's kind of saying, look, we're giving you some music. So I didn't struggle to pick for this week, because for me, this is one of my favourite soundtracks, because I love Violent Femmes, The Clash, Echo and the Bunny Men, obviously David Bowie, The Cure, Susie and the Banshees. But I did struggle a little bit. I did pause, because there's so many there's so many good films, actually, like Goodfellas, Boogie Nights, Lost in Translation, Graduate, Blue Velvet, Repo Man.
The ones that I'll listen to again and again are ones that we've already done, because, surprise, surprise, they're also very good films with lots of different elements to talk about. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm the same.
I would say, I talked to you about this before, but this film, Gross Point Blank, and High Fidelity were really big films for me growing up, because they basically informed my love of music as much as film. Like, I still deep dive for music at least once a week because of this kind of film, where it's ingrained in there. It's like there's more to your experience of music than just, you know, the top 10 names or whatever's playing on the radio at that point.
Yeah, watching characters get really invested in music, yeah, sort of a portal sometimes. I get that.
This I don't know if this will work, this question, but have you ever watched a film just to enjoy how it sounds, or like just for the music? Like, would you put a film on in the background that you're not going to pay too much attention to, but you know you love the soundtrack?
I've only done something similar to that when I've let a menu play over and over and over. When I was younger, it was Spirited Away, the special features bit, which has the sixth station, one of the piano compositions, and it just loops, and that's beautiful. But what I would say, film is a bit different, but when I was talking to a musician who was potentially going to do something for my other podcast, she said her job is to not be noticed. So, like, she was doing something for a play, and they asked the audience at the end, did you notice the music? And they were like, no. And she was like, yes. Like, you know, it just informs it rather than clashes with it.
I don't know if it's cinematography, but I think, yeah, it's a fine, I don't know, it depends what your intention is, I guess, that with a film like this, it makes sense, yeah, basically. Like, you know, a film like, I'm trying to think now, something like The Godfather, for instance, it would be weird. It would be a bit brash in a film like that that's quite muted and formal. But, yeah, I don't know. When it comes to soundtracks, they tend to be films which are quite playful and expressionistic in a way. Like, Wes Anderson films tend to have great soundtracks, and you're aware of them, and you can think of them afterwards, and you're aware you're hearing the soundtrack when it's happening.
Yeah,
this might be a good way into your pick, because it took me a while when I first watched this film to realize what they were doing with the soundtrack, because at first it just sounds like a score, And then after a while, you realise they're doing something more. So do you want to introduce your pick for the week?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was sort of rewatching this film thinking it's almost kind of a musical. I don't know, I'll get into that. So this is Swiss Army Man, which I know is a bit of a Marmite film. I love it. And it's basically about this guy who's suicidal. You first see him on this sort of desert island, and he meets, for want of a better word, a dead man who is basically like a Swiss Army knife in terms of a man. Like, he can do many things. He can fart his way over the ocean as you ride him. points the direction you should go. He points north. Fresh drinking water comes out of his mouth. Many other things happen. And basically this weird bond. And I always like this one because I don't think Daniel Radcliffe can act, but I think he can do a dead man just fine.
I was going to say, this is one of my notes, is that this is probably the best Daniel Radcliffe performance. Yeah. However, he does play a corpse, which is probably, that probably says everything.
Yeah, it's the same with Arnie in Terminator. I think he can just play a robot. But
then if you put him in the right film, like Total Recall, where it's supposed to be kind of hammy, it works as well. Anyway,
to be fair,
that's a separate thing. Yeah.
Arnie can do ham.
So do you want to try and describe how the music works in this film?
Well, the film opens with Paul Dano singing to himself as he's about to hang himself. And I don't know, just things that happen in the film. Oh, I can't even, like, yeah, so
it's hard to describe.
Things will happen, like noises, like waves crashing or something else happening will build and build and build. The music is basically made up of layers. It's Paul Dano's voice, it's Daniel Radcliffe's voice. And in a lot of ways, this is why I think it could be technically a musical too, because in many ways, as they're going, they go through the woods to try and get home, and they're sort of recreating scenes of life, like a bus or a movie theatre or whatever. And as they talk about popcorn, it'll just start with them singing popcorn over and over again as one of the layers, and like, and they, it becomes this harmony, and it, like, the whole film is about loneliness and trying to find ways to overcome it. How do you go about, like, making things which make us feel outcast, normal, and like the celebration of that? And all the songs are pretty much tied into that. Like, they're weird songs. And they get bits of, like, Jurassic Park.
I was going to say, there's a lot of covers in there, like Cotton Eye Joe, Jurassic Park. And I feel like that was what was interesting. A bit, like, we've talked about this, I didn't really like the film, but I do think it's a very inventive use of soundtrack, which is why it's such a great pick.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of creative joy in it. Like, that's why I like it. I really wasn't sure the first time I watched it, but I've decided. Yeah.
Well, I've only watched it once, but when I did, I watched it with a friend of mine who has a very similar taste. We just kind of like, is this shit or is this good? I still don't know really, but I think my gut instinct is like, well, compared to, I don't know, There Will Be Blood, like, yes, it's not a good film, but
yes, it's doing something very different. Yeah.
And which I commend. And also, I only looked this up today. The directors of this went on to direct, like, a couple of years later, one of my favourite films from last year, which is called The Death of Dick Long, which is probably the most criminally overlooked films I've ever seen. Like, basically, like, 1,000 people have watched this film, and it's one of the best films of the past 5 years.
Okay,
which is weird. Yeah, when you look at Swiss Army Man and then that film, it's very different. But yeah, I think the use of elements of the on-screen sounds integrated with the score is really interesting. Like, I have seen it with other things, like maybe Punch Drunk Love, but it's uniquely, it just, everything that you know of a film starts to feel like warped a little bit all the way through. That's what I found quite interesting.
Yeah, you can tell that there was a lot of love and understanding for the script, for the characters, from not just actors and director, but everyone. Like, the two people who got on board, I think it was Andy Hull and Robert McDowell, and they say they hadn't created a soundtrack before, I don't think, and they went in with the actors, they interpreted the script by themselves, and, like, I think I'm getting these facts right. They tell the story through all the song as well, and like not just the words and stuff, but like, yeah, I don't know,
like, well, the atmosphere as well. Like, it's weird because I re-listened to it before we started to talk about this, that it is quite effective emotionally if you just listen to the music without the words too.
Definitely.
I was going to ask, is this a soundtrack that you listen to often? Because it's such a strange one.
It is.
I imagine it would bring a smile to your face when you hear it. But
yeah, the popcorn song makes me smile, but the cave song makes me go to sleep. So yeah, I use a lot of soundtracks to help me sleep as well. I really love this one. It's like, how, I don't know, it sort of made its mark on me in a way other films haven't, because it's, yeah, it's teaching people to not be ashamed of stuff. And like, I know that farts are like an everyday thing, but they're not really talked about in a good way in films ever.
Well, that's kind of one of my issues with the film, is that we talked about this in the comedy episode, that it's rarely done well. It's occasionally done well in this, but my issue with the film is mainly that it feels like one big fart joke without...
It's not a joke, though.
It's not, it's kind of a deadpan version of it, but... I don't know.
For anyone who's not watched it, the basic premise is like that we shouldn't be ashamed. Like basically the dead man sort of waking up and going, why do we find this weird? And why is that strange? And why can't we do this? And like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a bad film. I don't know what it is. That's why I can't really say.
But... No, I was just defending the fart bit.
Yeah. No, by all means, defend farts.
Although I went to see this in the cinema and a good 10 people left within the first 2 minutes.
I can see what, I'm not going to lie. It is that level of Marmite film where it's...
I looked at my mate and was like, shall we stay? And they were like, give it a minute. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because it's one of the few films that has a very strange tone of, I genuinely don't know if this is... I mean, I'm veering more towards, I don't think it's a great or good film, but there is a part of me that goes, well, that was good though. So the rest of it's intentional. and the acting, like Paul Dano, I love, and I think he's great in this, but I mean, he's also been in films like Prisoners and There Will Be Blood, so I kind of think, why this? And I think it is a playful film, and I think that's probably why. But
also for me, it's in the script. Like, I found a lot of ideas they explore very moving, and it made me think, I think... If you sit through it, even if you hate it, you at least question some things or like think about some things, which is enough for me.
And it's definitely become kind of a cult film. Like, I know.
Has it?
Yeah. I mean, in the same way, maybe not quite to the extreme of Napoleon Dynamite, but yeah, I think quite a lot of people have seen it, and it's got that kind of, not stoner vibe, but you know, like if you're a stoner, it's the kind of film that a lot of groups will put on because it is silly and it is, they won't be thinking about isolation and captivity and shame, but you know, they'll be
how
like,
do you know?
Well, they might, but they won't be saying it. They'll be, you know,
yeah,
staring blurry-eyed at the screen.
I have a question in that, so soundtracks and what your film includes is songs that everyone already knows quite well. They might have other connotations, other memories linked to it. Do you think, I mean, I guess it's every context, but do you think it could work better if every film had its own original music to stay original in that sense, so you don't get too many other links? Or
I'm going to say yes, but this is personal preference. I would rather watch a film with a score, but that's mostly because, and I made a note about this, that soundtracks were basically commodified from like the late 80s through to the 90s, especially with Tarantino and like films like Lock, Stock and this kind of thing. It was like they wanted, if you were going to make a film, you had to have a soundtrack they could sell separate so they could make more money.
Again, I grew up to the Kill Bill soundtrack, but I didn't watch it till I was like last year maybe.
Well, I was going to ask actually if you'd ever watched a film because you'd heard the soundtrack or heard who was involved in it, because obviously they started to from the past like 30 years or so, saying soundtrack including Iggy Pop and the Ramones or whoever. I'm guessing you watched Kill Bill because of the soundtrack then?
Yes, but not really, because I did enjoy the music, but it was more like that was always a VHS that mum and dad hid on the bookcase, and I was always like, I'm going to watch that someday.
Yeah,
I don't think I quite work like that. Like, I wouldn't sit through a whole few hours of something that I otherwise thought was shit just to listen to a song.
Yeah.
Would you? Well, you might not think it was shit. You might not know what it was, but would you be lured in?
No, if I'm not, it's. I won't watch a film just because someone says the music's by a band I like.
Okay.
I don't know, that might not. I would start to watch it, but if it's a bad film, I wouldn't be able to watch it. But going back to your question, I think as much as I love films like this and High Fidelity, I do veer more towards score. However, there are some moments, like in Gross Point Blank, the David Bowie and Queen song Under Pressure, there's a moment where that's playing in the background during the high school reunion and someone hands their baby to John Cusack and he looks into its eyes. And that moment could not have worked with a score. I mean, it could have worked, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as powerful, I don't think. That's one of the best moments in a film that I've seen.
Yeah, I guess when you've got in your hands these like iconic songs, you can sort of play with it a bit and like clash them together and create new moments because of what's associated with the song. I think if someone does it well, then I can imagine that.
Yeah, great. And I mean, one of the best examples is Goodfellas. Like Martin Scorsese, just in general, he'll use music better than anyone else. I'm gonna say better than anyone else I've seen in a film. And Goodfellas in particular, there's so many moments that the sound cues from those eras, which makes it easier for you to grasp where you're at in time. But that does add some. The scores in those films too, but I do think he's one of the rare instances where the music like that does add a lot more to it. Like, I don't know, basically what I'm saying is if I'm going to say something is the best of something and it's high art and it's this and that and it's original, it tends to include a score rather than soundtrack. But all the ones I mentioned, like The Graduate and Lost in Translation and Boogie Nights and Goodfellas, they are definitely high art. And they're definitely amazing films. And the soundtrack kind of makes those things too. I mean,
I don't
know if I have the answer, to be honest. Basically, I only use scores in my films because I can't afford soundtracks.
That's what I was going to say. A bit more of a technical question. Like, is this good news for indie filmmakers who have low budgets or whatever? Because it's going to be wholly original and it's cheaper to get someone to write your score rather than buy copyrights or whatever.
Yes is the short answer.
Yeah.
Although, because I've got so used to it, I think I probably would... I would stick to it. So, I feel like we've probably exhausted what we could talk about with our own films. We did say this before we started to record that there is, because it's just the sounds or the music from each of these films, there's probably less to talk about because we're not talking about the films themselves.
I would also stress that I, like, other than loving to, like, collect them, I know nothing about the art of making soundtracks, so I am bullshitting slightly.
Well, I feel with my pick, in some ways, it's like a mixtape. I mean, for me anyway, I would listen to that soundtrack and go, someone's made me a perfect mixtape.
Did you used to make mixtapes when you were little?
Yeah, younger? Well...
Because I did. I did specifically, CDs.
Specifically when I was a teenager and when I started dating and once I started to really get into films. And more specifically, when I started driving, I would make a mix of like 20 tracks to listen to when I was driving around. And I think that's quite a common thing. And I think, that's the side of me that's nostalgic for the idea of maybe making a film where soundtracks are a big part of it. I was going to ask before we wrap this up, do you want to name drop a few other films where you thought the soundtracks are great? Because I could have gone on for... my honourable mentions list was basically getting longer and longer. And I was just thinking that I could talk for an entire half an hour just about other films that... I mean, you mentioned Fight Club. I thought that was a great soundtrack. The Tom Waits track in particular in that Going Out West, I love. And okay. Obviously it ends with Pixies. The ending song was perfect. Yeah.
Trying to think. Thing is, like, I don't really objectively look at these things. I just know the ones that I've saved. Last Black Man in San Francisco was my latest fave. I was obsessed with the soundtrack when I watched it.
That was pure score though, right? There was no like...
Yeah, well, it borrowed from old songs, obviously, but it was score again. I guess I like score. Spirited Away, big one for me. Score again.
Yes, amazing.
And I guess... Oh, I don't think they count, but things like Good Vibrations, the Punks in Belfast film.
That's such a good film.
I can just sort of like round up that soundtrack and just have a little playlist,
Yeah, that's a film which I think not enough people heard about. Do you want to quickly plug that film? I feel like that's a good It's a good B-side.
Yeah.
To your
I'm surprised because you hadn't watched it when I first met you, and then you said, "Yeah, I watched it. I wasn't too sure." I think so. I'm surprised that you're now going, "Wow!"
No. Okay. Well, no. Okay. I'm not. I don't think it's quite as good as Gross Point Blank, but I was really glad when I watched it, and the soundtrack is amazing.
I loved it. It was. Oh, it's going to sound twisted, but it was one of the main reasons I went to Belfast, because I just saw the energy of it, even though it's set in the Troubles and that's not a great place to be.
Well, it's an optimistic view of how to escape and get out of it. Like, they were kind of counteracting the lives. Yeah. They were, like, you know, it was out of their control that there was bombings and shootings, but...
The idea was, like, London had the hair, New York had the trousers, Belfast had the reason. Like, they were the real punks. And it's, yeah, it's such a great film, full of humour, full of energy. I went to see it twice with my dad, I think, at the cinema. And, yeah, a couple of years later, I was in Belfast. And, yeah, just love it. And a lot of great, like, little punk bands came from Belfast, too.
Which I didn't know about, I'll be honest. I didn't know that. I mean, obviously, the obvious one is it The Undertones?
They're from Derry. That was the main rivalry in the film.
Yeah, but they were heavily in the film.
They were recorded in Belfast too, yeah. And then, like, yeah, you've got all these, like, little ones who never really made a big hit or anything, but I love a few of their tracks, yeah. I've forgotten all their names, so I'm sorry. I'll have to go look up that soundtrack.
The internet exists and people can look this up.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up completely, do you think there's any ingredients to a... Or what do you look for in a great soundtrack? Or does it just hit you emotionally?
Very changeable answer, but whatever the film needs, do it well. Like, don't make us overly aware, but, like, put it in the right places and make us appreciate it. Yeah. What would be your answer?
Pretty much that. I mean, you said it better than I could. Basically, yeah, I mean... My first answer would have been, I'm going to pick all of my favourites. If I could pick and choose like 20 tracks to put into a film and then make a film around that somehow.
Yeah, would you ever?
I probably would.
Yeah, choose your favourite songs before and then let the film story shape around that. That could be a really cool project.
I do listen to music whilst writing it, but it tends to be scores in a similar tone, not soundtracks. Although I will obviously listen to all sorts, but...
I can't write with music that has words in it, otherwise I end up writing the words, but I do write to like...
Yeah, yeah, it influences, I think. Mm. Like, if I listen to Radiohead, I'm going to start making a political film about alienation. I don't think I could make a film starting with the soundtrack, though. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's, as always, as with the other stuff, it should be the, like, one of the walls that holds it up, but it shouldn't be the roof.
Yeah, it needs to add to it rather than be it. Even if it's High Fidelity and... Gross Point Blank, that kind of thing. I mean, Swiss Army Man, they probably started with the idea and then thought about all this stuff afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week, we were talking about soundtracks. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to tune in next week.